Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Harry Douglas in for Key today, ESPN Radio. Oh, it's a good mood here,
man,
in the studio.
I walked in this morning, I was so mad. I don't know why I got mad, because it's like, I used to be that dude back in, I had size 13 shoes, right?
I can't say it, you just.
So, you know, you go in, you know, so you like wear size 12, 13, 14. You go into the Foot Locker, you go into the Champs back in the day, be like, yo, those new Jordans are dope. Let me cop those. Like, I'm so sorry.
They would have them because no one has that size foot.
They don't carry your size 13.
Oh, they don't carry the size at all.
They don't carry size 13 or 14. No, but HD, we're size 7.
Man, get out of here. You're not going to listen to you.
He's got mini footitis.
What we're not going to do is that on national TV.
There's a surplus of size 7 in every shoe store.
Harry Douglas was born with a rare disorder.
I'm a 9.5.
Very athletic, but super small feet.
Man, on this man's feet. This man got Mickey Mouse feet. He got the cutest feet I've ever seen in my life. Look at them. They're so cute.
Feet that small, you should paint your toes, Harry.
Man,
his feet dangling?
Man, his feet. Are your feet dangling from
No,
the
they
chair?
Can touch the floor.
Look, you got the toes. Right, okay. Wait, go. Wait. Cool. Wait. Gates, go to. You got the toes on the floor. Put the toes.
Touch the floor.
You know, Max,
big toe on the floor.
Hey,
his heels ain't touching that joint at all,
though, baby. You are elite.
Yeah, me too.
I don't care what they say.
Who's they? You're they. What do you mean what they say? First out of one side of his mouth, he goes, I don't care what they say, meaning him.
What size you wear, Max?
10. But it's a 10, solid 10.
That ain't far off, though.
Yeah, but 10 is the worst size because that's like a very common size. That's why they're always out of the shoe.
But I feel like they always got size 9.5, though.
Yeah, they do.
He has everything. Everything. I was always the odd man out.
By the way, 9.5 is true. For some reason, like, I was trying to cram my foot into a 9.5 because they had that. Yeah.
Ain't nobody tell Jada had them clown feet.
Then I go into Harry's closet. I'm like, hold on, man. How'd you get that? How'd you get that? I'm like, well, they just have my sides. They always got your sides.
Sad part is like my brother, who's 6'3", wears a 13.
See?
What happened? And he got all the fun.
He's my little big brother.
my little big brother.
And not only that, he got to play in the NBA. You had to play in the NFL.
Oh, I know.
You can't play in the NBA.
He has the NFL body, though, too. That's crazy, man.
So you must have been at practice like, wait, I got to take these licks, and this dude gets to dunk in front of people.
This
and-
dude makes $250 million and has to only watch 4 hours of tape a week.
Well, that's
Harry watches that a night.
Right now. And I've been retired since 2017.
Wonder what size foot Tua has. Because there are some compact dudes who really should have been taller for whatever. They lifted too many weights or something. And if you look at their foot, they're like, no, that dude's supposed to be about 6'2". Why is he 5'8"?
Man, right? So I got clown feet.
Maybe Tua has big feet. Maybe he's supposed to be taller. That would.
I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. Yeah.
I would call her.
A rabbit.
Yeah, something about a rabbit in a hat and a six or something. What? All right. Tyreek Hill calls Tua Tagovailoa the most accurate quarterback in the NFL. Tyreek Hill on First Take.
You had an opportunity to pick between Tua or pick between Zach Wilson, and you decided South Beach instead of New York. What was the determining factor in that?
I said once, and I said again. You know, Zach Wilson is a dog, but I'd rather play with the most accurate quarterback in the NFL.
Mm.
So, look, Harry, I think, frankly, this is genius. I think, first off, having your own platform is great. I would advocate for any player to have their own platform. And every time he says something positive about Tua, people lose their minds. He never said Tua was better than Patrick Mahomes. He just said for this situation, he prefers Tua. Or he's calling Tua more accurate, right?
He didn't even say he preferred to Zach Wilson, he said.
To Zach Wilson, right? More accurate. So for me, I kind of feel like this is a hell of a bet to hedge on if you're Tyreek. Because if Tua doesn't answer the bell, guess what? Stephen Ross going to get somebody in there that can. Maybe that's Jimmy Garoppolo. Maybe that's somebody else. So why not back your quarterback to the fullest We are talking about the Miami Dolphins more than we have any other offseason, other than the other light that we could have been talking about them, right? Stephen Ross, Tom Brady, you know, Sean Payton, this secret meeting. Like, now we're talking about on the field, why not promote your team and your quarterback? And if your quarterback does not live up to expectation, your team and you guys will move on.
See, the thing about it is that Tua's going to be under a ton of pressure regardless this
year.
Everybody knows that. And does Tua want this attention? Technically, no, he doesn't. But I know he probably doesn't have a problem with Tyreek Hill, one of the best receivers in the game today, boosting him up. It also can do a lot for his mental.
Yes.
And boost his confidence. Like, you know what? Okay, we have this guy that we traded for who's electric, who I've seen won a Super Bowl, who I know is the fastest guy in the National Football League, and he's backing me like this on every platform. So I would lean more towards the positive side. When he first started doing it, I was like, oh, I don't know if this is good for Tua. But now that I look at it, he's actually probably boosting Tua's confidence going into this season. Because let's be honest now. They've surrounded him with a lot of pieces. And Tyreek Hill deciding if he's going to go play for Zach Wilson or play with Tua Tagovailoa. Listen, there's a guy at the head coach named Mike McDaniel. That's who he's going to play for. Who utilized Deebo Samuel the way that Tyreek Hill can be utilized.
There you go.
And has also another guy named Jaylen Waddle who is similar to him in play style. That's why another reason why he went to Miami, money-wise. And there's no state tax in Florida. You're going to get taxed like hell up here in New York if you would have came up here playing for the New York Jets.
Can I tell you guys a story through a statistical profile for a second of a guy who basically didn't play his first year, okay? Short quarterback. Didn't play his first year. The thought was he could be accurate enough to succeed, even if he wasn't the fastest or the biggest or whatever.
I think I know who you're
talking about. Went 8-8 his second year, over 3,000 passing yards, 17 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. He showed promise. And I believe, I don't know if he got hurt, I think he got benched in his third year, his second as a starter, went 2-9, 2,000 yards passing, 11 touchdowns to 15 interceptions. They drafted his replacement. The next year, he went 11-4 with 3,000 yards and his first really good NFL season that made him a star, 27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. And then he kept his job, went 9-7, and he improved a little bit, 24-15. And then he got dealt, or he left. He left in free agency because they didn't like he didn't like the contract offer. And that was Drew Brees, the most accurate quarterback of all time, short guy.
Spot on.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Exactly who you're talking
was
about.
Was called a left hand. The speculation was, what's his upside? Could he be a left-handed Drew Brees? Not the biggest, strongest guy or the fastest, not a little undersized for a quarterback, but could he be accurate enough to be an NFL star, right? Well, listen to what, and I understand the eras are different. The passing game has evolved. Listen to what Tua's doing in his career so far, real quick, Jay. Tua in his first year, and think of how this stacks up with Brees. In his first year, he started, unlike Brees. Brees didn't play. His team went 6-3, and he completed 64% of his passes. 11 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, didn't throw for a lot of yards, right? Under 2,000 yards. The next year, last year, 7-5. And he got benched just like Brees. In his first year, he got taken out, put in 7-5 last year. Almost 68% of his passes, over 2,500 yards, 16 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. What he talks about is how you develop a quarterback. First year, it's nothing. Second year, you got third year, you have to. Tua, there's nothing in his career so far that would disqualify him from being a top-notch quarterback. Maybe the eyeball test because he's short, he doesn't have a big arm, but his career progression is not unlike Drew Brees' far.
Also, it depends upon who your head coach is that unlocks you as well, because Sean Payton unlocked Drew Brees, correct?
Yeah, he's going to unlock Tua next year, maybe.
But that's why I think it's positive that Mike McDaniel is Tua's head coach, because one of the things that Sean Payton did is created that balance offensively.
There you go.
It was a run game. It was a pass game. It was both. They never been, okay, I'm a heavy pass. We're going to abandon the run. They always were balanced. And I played in that rivalry. I played against Drew Brees on numerous of occasions. And I'll tell you another thing that Drew Brees did so well, though, is that
playing a dome.
that too. And he threw with anticipation. Mm-hmm. And when you see Drew Brees like warming up, right? He's warming up. He's going through warm-ups. He's not only just, you know what, I'm acting like I'm throwing to the first read. Drew Brees is going to the second, third, for free, it's repetition. So when he gets in a game, I literally seen Drew Brees in a football game against us, the Atlanta Falcons one time, go through read one, go through read two, go through read three, and then go back to read one and throw a go route all the way down the field for a touchdown.
Hey, do you think, because Brandon Marshall said this to me on This Just In 6 months ago or so, he said Tua, when you look at the film, is a slow blinker. Slow blinker meaning it takes him a while to process information. So for a guy like that, what you talked about, the repetition that Drew Brees put himself through, that's even more important. Do you, when you watch Tua, do you think he's a slow blinker? And is there something he can do to remedy that?
I think he can throw. See, this is a problem that a lot of young quarterbacks have coming out of college. A lot of quarterbacks have to see receivers, see tight ends open before they throw it. And in the National Football League, you can't be like that. You have to throw with anticipation. You have to anticipate where that receiver is going to be. Now, that also put a lot of onus on the wide receiver in that trust. So that quarterback, receiver, tight end, they have to have that trust. So if that quarterback throws with anticipation, he knows that receiver is going to be there to catch the football, and it's not going to be an interception as well.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Harry Douglas, as you can hear, in for Key today. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. What's the reaction around the NFL to the Kyler Murray independent study mandate in his $160 million guaranteed contract? Is it really a guaranteed contract? They can void it if he doesn't study, watch film 4 hours a week? Dan Graziano joins us next. He's got his ear to the ground. Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray agrees to a five-year extension is worth $230.5 million.
This is something that both sides have talked about and wanted to do throughout the entire offseason.
He's a really special player. He has unique talents in terms of his ability as a runner, his ability as a passer with how developed he is this early in his career.
The Cardinals are betting on Kyler Murray and betting big.
Hey, hey, ha, ha, ha. Mm-hmm. Yep, get him, HD. Get him, get him.
Come on, Gross. Nah, hey. Come on, Gross. Gross, say nah.
Not in public.
And Max. See that. Max. Hello.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Where were you at, by the way?
I was looking stuff up. I'm looking up. How do you think I come up with the Drew Brees and Tua statistical comparisons? And I do it all from my cell phone. My computer. By the way, here's the thing, Dan Graziano. Mm-hmm. This is Keyshawn J. Will Max coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Dan and I haven't seen each other in a minute. This is not, when people are like, they were on the phone, it's not a phone.
No.
A phone is one of the many functions. You probably use the phone less than anything else. It's a computer. Right. These are portable computers.
And that's what Kyler's going to tell him if they say, were you looking at your phone while you were watching film?
Yeah, you were on your phone. Dan. Ah, I was studying film.
What a transition, Dan.
The best Dan transition Graziano of the morning. Is an ESPN, our ESPN NFL insider, of course. Dan, what's just give me your reaction to the mandate in Kyler's contract that he studies 4 hours a week of film.
My first reaction was, this is a terrible precedent to set for future contracts. And we've talked about how, like, quarterbacks, you know, could insist on more guarantees than they do and help out, you know, the larger body of players going forward, and they rarely do it. But this is another step. Like, this is going to let teams put anything they want in a contract, right? Like, you're going to be able to say, well, this guy was the number one pick, and he agreed to this homework clause. Like, why shouldn't you, random
well, because
player that
I
we're
think
trying to sign?
It'll apply to players where there is some thought maybe you shouldn't give them the contract. But
right. It
ain't going to apply to Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow. Those guys, they're going to be like, okay, fine, don't give me the contract. Someone else will.
And that's the second part of the reaction, which is that, you know, for most of these guys, you don't have to put a clause like this in. So what's it doing in there? And what does it say about the player and his relationship with the team? It's a fascinating thing. You know, I saw somebody put it out there like, well, Murray already does this. That's why he agreed. No, if he already does this, then
you don't have to put it in there.
Thank you.
So, like, it's weird, and it says a lot about the situation. Look, just remember, Super Bowl Sunday, Mortensen's report about how the Cardinals wanted him to work harder, show more leadership. So now they've legislated it in the contract. So it wasn't nothing, and there's definitely a situation here where the team wants him to do things differently than he's done in terms of how he works and how he prepares for games. He obviously signed it. He's obviously okay with it. But look, to me, it opens up a lot of things, right? If he struggles, this is going to be a thing people remember and say about him, right? Like, is he working hard enough? To me, it's just a very sort of icky kind of thing to be in this kind of contract.
Gross, the thing that got me about it is that it said 4 hours a week.
Yeah.
If you're only watching 4 hours a week,
well,
That's not even good. That's not good, Gross.
So what it's so the team meetings don't count, right? Like, if you read the language, is that this is an additional 4 hours over and above what he does at the facility. So I don't know how they landed on 4 hours. Maybe they negotiated it. Maybe they wanted 8, and he said one, and this is where they landed. But this is like, we want you to do more work than you're doing, is basically what they're saying. More work than the minimum that is required of you by being here every day. It's odd, man. I mean, it is. I don't know. I mean, I've never seen it before. It's a little like clauses in contracts that require guys to make weight, right? To weigh a certain, or can't go over.
Yep.
It's a little like that. You can see if a guy is fat. This is a little behind the scenes. You're kind of opening up.
They should have put that in. He has to grow an inch every week. Forget about it. That's the problem. That is he's too tough. Short. Yep. Not that he.
But I will say this though, when you come in on Mondays after you watch after you play a Sunday game, you watch the film the game you just played, right?
Yeah.
Then later that day, you probably go into the film of the next opponent. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 6 days and 4 hours is required.
8 30-minute sessions is all you have to do.
But the fact that it's anything is kind of insulting, right?
Like, it's very insulting.
I mean, does ESPN call you and say, Harry, you're hosting tomorrow. I want to make sure you put in at least 45 minutes of time researching this topic.
Let me tell you what. You know why they don't, Gross? You know why they don't, Gross? Because they know I'm going to do it anyway.
Because you can do it anyway. Exactly. You don't have to be told.
They actually have to put in Harry's only 45 minutes so he doesn't overstudy.
This is the point, though. When your quarterback is the leader of your team that sets that type of tone, and now you need this language that stipulates, hey, this is what we expect of you work-wise, which seems like bare minimum. Uh-huh. What kind of precedent does that set for your team?
It's bad. Look, it's not. And then think about this. This is in a contract that's going to pay him over $46 million a year, one of the highest contracts in the history of the league. So you're not only saying this. Obviously, nobody's perfect, right? We're not going to say it, but you're saying this is a player that we don't feel works hard enough. Yet,
we've rewarded him
with this contract because it would be even worse for us to have to go find a new quarterback.
Hey, Dan, what's odd to me is the Arizona Cardinals with Kyler Murray as quarterback are basically unbeatable in the first half of the season.
Yeah.
Then they lit 8-0, 7-1. Yeah. They're the best team in football because of him. And then he wears down because he's little. And then they don't play as well in the
That'll
second
be
half.
Different this year without D-Hop.
Right, so may have, could be. Game. So like, first to me, if he has the curse of the gifted, where he's able to slide a little bit on some of the stuff that other guys have to do, that has not yet shown itself, not to my eye. What's shown itself is his size.
Well, maybe it has. I mean, maybe that is part of the late season collapses, right? I mean, teams around the league are making adjustments to how to play you, and you're not doing enough to push back. Again, this is hypothetical, but I mean, regardless, like, if you are a GM or a coach and you don't feel like your quarterback is working hard enough, and again, I'm not throwing this phrase out there. I think that's a fair interpretation of this clause in the contract, is they don't think he works hard enough. Then that's bad for everyone, right? Like, now you're trying to this is the example. So even if you don't think it's tied to the late season collapses, it could be tied to your ability to manage your team by saying, you know, if the quarterback's not doing this, then how can I ask my second-string running back?
In that case, I understand. We talked about it earlier in the show, obviously, but then I understand the stipulation, because on the one hand, if he's already doing it anyway, then he's like, I'm not risking this money. I do that anyway.
Right.
And on the other hand, if he doesn't, if he's like what Mike Vick now understands with age and wisdom, he didn't do as in his youth. Right. Youth is wasted on the young. Well, then this is something he kind of needs. It would only help to make him better. So why wouldn't? And he's going to do it because now the money's on the line. It seems to make sense, maybe.
The specific wording of the clause is what's really kind of weird. That's the part where it starts to get insulting, right? He's not allowed to look up from his iPad at the television or check his phone during this. Now, I don't know how you necessarily, you know, regulate this, but they're basically telling him, if you are playing a video game while you're also studying, we can void your contract. I mean, think about that. That's not what they're not saying, you know, oh, you're going to be suspended, you're going to be fined, whatever. Like, all this money goes away, potentially, if we find out that instead of doing the work we assigned you, you're texting someone.
Can I give y'all some examples? So they play the Rams twice a year, right?
Uh-huh.
They beat them the first time, lost to them the second time. You play them a third time in the playoff game, and it was a poor performance.
Yeah, I got smoked.
Poor performance.
Yeah.
So things like this may come up in those type of scenarios.
Sure. Yeah. We have more Rams for you to watch than we did in week 6.
Yep.
Right? So yeah, absolutely it could be tied to how they perform over the second half.
Just imagine if Mike Vick had something like that, Jay, when he was young, though. Like, we're all kind of down. It's not good. It's embarrassing. But some guys who are uber talented can coast, and maybe it's good before, like, don't wait for them to learn from their own experience. Learn from the experience of others and you know, force their hand a little.
ESPN NFL insider Dan Graziano joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Dan, so Deshaun Watson gets $230 million. Kyler Murray gets $230.5 million. Right. What is Lamar Jackson going to get?
Yeah, I don't think, if you're talking about five-year deals, I honestly don't think 250 should be out of the question if you're Lamar Jackson. I mean, look, if Kyler Murray's making 46.1 and Deshaun Watson's making 46, and I'm Lamar Jackson, I roll in there and say, show me those guys' MVP trophies. I would like to see them. And if you can produce those, then I'll sign for the same number.
And no four-hour study, independent study stipulations, none of that in my contract. Well, none of my other contracts, issues off the field.
Yeah.
I don't have any of that stuff going on.
Right? Maybe
not too short.
A little bit of injury stuff here and there or whatever, and haven't performed in the playoffs.
No, just this year.
But again, right. But again, my point is, like, you are, I've been MVP of the league, right? I've gotten to the playoffs. I've won a playoff, like, all that kind of stuff. You can say all that stuff and say, I deserve more than Josh Allen. I mean,
he's been a number one seed.
Yes.
He doesn't have the off the field issues.
Nope.
He's performed better and better in the playoffs, including a playoff win and beating Patrick Mahomes in the regular season, which you got to do in the AFC.
All you hear about him internally is that the coaches and teammates love him. Like that, I mean, there's not one whisper of this kind of stuff, right? Doesn't work hard enough, isn't a leader. He is the sun around which that entire organization revolves. I think he has every right to ask to be the highest paid player. I don't know if he'll get it, but if he wants to wait for that and he's comfortable with the idea of being franchised a couple times and just playing it out, a la Kirk Cousins or, you know, the way Dak Prescott almost did, then good for him. Have a plan and stick to it. But yeah, we'll see. This could be – it was like the first or second week of camp last year when Josh Allen signed his deal. So really over the next couple of weeks, I think, is when we'll find out whether this is something that happens or whether he goes into this year still looking for that deal.
Justin Herbert's going to be so rich.
Yeah, but again,
he's going to be so rich.
I mean, unless Tannenbaum is right, like he's not going to be coming to the table next offseason with an MVP trophy, right? I mean, like that's a big part of this. But yeah, Burrow, Russell Wilson's going to need a new deal next year. That's
but Herbert
different.
More
Herbert
than any of these
doesn't need an MVP trophy.
Herbert's right. Got
even though I have him as my MVP favorite. Yeah,
me
this
too,
year
but
to win.
But Harry, he does not have the injury history that Joe Burrow does.
Yeah,
he's 6 foot six. He's got all the stats, the arm, then, the whole thing.
And then
he's going to get $300 million. Like, what's the guarantee?
Factor this in, like here's our example that we're talking about today is Arizona. They don't even seem to really like this guy, and they paid.
It's crazy.
So you have, I mean, you have all the leverage in the world if you're a quarterback and your team is confronting the idea of life without you.
That is the great Dan Graziano, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN NFL Insider. Thank you, as always, Dan.
My pleasure.
Our two-a-days roll on, Dan. You might be interested to know.
I'm interested.
With the Los Angeles Rams.
Oh.
Hey.
Heard of them.
Let me ask you something, Dan, real quick. You tell me off camera, and then we're going to talk about it next segment. What's the biggest concern for the defending Super Bowl champs? Don't let them know.
No, I got you.
We'll reveal Dan's answer coming up. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, Harry Douglas in for Key, ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio's NFL Two-A-Days, the Los Angeles Rams.
This is one of those contracts when you see the news break. I'm glad he's playing. I love watching Aaron Donald play. To me, this puts them over the edge. They're going to win the Super Bowl.
When you start with Aaron Donald and Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford and especially Sean McVay coming back, they're certainly good enough to make another run.
I think Allen Robinson may be one of the sneakiest big moves this year. This man was going off the 1,000-yard seasons in Chicago. The Rams right now are clear.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Harry Douglas in for Key today. I mean, they don't have Odell right now. He's hurt. But then again, they didn't have Odell for a lot of the season.
They got Allen Robinson.
That's a nice number two, I guess, on this team right now.
Oh, of course. Cooper Kupp's number one.
No, but I'm trying to think, is there any... No, he's number two. There's no one ahead of Allen Robinson other than Cooper Kupp, in other words.
No, I mean, you have Van Jefferson, the son of Sean Jefferson. They have one kid, Tutu Atwell from Louisville, who they were very, very high on. Not this past draft, but the year before, who could really stretch the field. He was hurt last year, but they're banking on him being healthy.
Remember
this
when
year.
It was like, hey, Odell's not even going to be number two on this. Van Jefferson, no, Odell healthy. He's at least number two in the Super Bowl. It looked like he might have been number one, and then he got hurt. But
Bobby Wagner, they got their defense settled again, too. Oh, yeah. I mean, they are absolutely loaded.
Bobby Wagner was great. How good is Bobby Wagner still, by the way? He was a great player in his prime. Is he still great?
Yes.
He's still a great player?
Instinctive. See ball, get ball. Mm-hmm. Very, very smart. Captain of a defense. I'm looking forward to him, especially with Raheem Morris being a defensive coordinator.
So
look at
the additions, especially Robinson, we just mentioned, and Wagner. But look what they lost, guys. Let me tell you something about these Rams with Sean McVay. The offense took off once they got Andrew Whitworth. He was a free agent left tackle. Teams like my New York Football Giants thought at the time, he's already 33 or 34. He won't be good for the life of the deal. We can't sign him. When he was on the field for the Rams, he was a difference maker. He was the blindside protection who enabled that Rams offense. And by the way, put that graphic back up, guys, on TV. Look at who else they lost. Whitworth, the other guy, Robert Woods. When you run outside zone blocking, you need a wideout like Robert Woods who blocks like that. You pick up so many yards on the ground because of Robert Woods. And then Von Miller. Guys, Von Miller was the thing maybe that put them over the top. I mean, he was the pass rusher who, you know, to complement an Aaron Donald. And then Odell was going to be MVP of the Super Bowl. He had at least had a hot start. He had a chance to do it. They lost a lot, guys.
HD, let me ask you, though, because we talk about Andrew Whitworth, you know, not being with the team anymore. Joe Noteboom replaces him. He's been with the team since 2018.
Austin Corbett, too.
Austin Corbett, right?
Guard.
Guys that have played multiple positions that can fill in for that role. But the age of Matthew Stafford, 34 years old, the elbow, the back injury, that left tackle position is so important to protect him. Because for me, the only slight hole I would see is the health of Matthew Stafford.
Dan Graziano.
Team, right?
By the way, let's pay it off. I said Dan Graziano is going to say off camera, off mic, what the biggest concern for the Rams are. And he said what Jay just said. He said
Matthew Stafford's
elbow, which the team has discussed publicly is kind of flying under the radar somehow, and that's a big deal.
Well, this is why I think the run game for the Los Angeles Rams is going to be important, right? You can't just let Matthew Stafford drop back and just throw the ball constantly, constantly, constantly. When we see the Rams struggled a little bit of times that they did struggle last year, the run game wasn't on point, and that's because a lot of their running backs were hurt. You got Cam Akers coming back. Daryl Henderson, he's gonna be back as well. Kyron Williams, they drafted him out of Notre Dame.
Cam Akers is a big thing. Like, that's also flying under the radar because he was not available last year for most of the season. Mm-hmm. And the year before, in the second half, he looked like an elite back.
Yeah, a guy from Florida State who can do it not only in the run game but the pass game as well. But you can't just drop back and say we're going to pass the football every play. They have Higbee, they have Blayton, who stepped up when Higbee went down last year as well, the tight end position. But you have to be able to establish the run. And when Sean McVay is at his best in this offense, which is the Shanahan tree, is when that run game is thriving.
Yep.
And you can everything comes off
pick
of
your
the play action, the bootlegs, the waggles, all that stuff, they go hand in hand together.
Woods is big in that department for the reason I mentioned earlier, guys. Like, that's why he's such a good overall football player.
He was good blocking. He was good on those jet speed sweep motions coming around, getting those as well. That's how I think they're going to use Tutu Atwell.
Woods always, even since college at SC, when the flashy receiver who went second round, who was with Woods? No. It's escaping me now.
Aguilar?
He went in the second round. He was on the USC team, on the Trojans team with Robert Woods. He was considered like the higher end talent, and the name is escaping me. When I say it, you'll be like, yeah, well, of course.
It's mind-boggling.
But
I don't know.
Woods from back then was always like so solid in so many areas, and to me, that's a huge subtraction.
But you talk about opportunities, though. Robert Woods, not saying he wasn't good in Buffalo, but you go to a Rams team, and then your talents are really, really showcased even more, and they figured out how to utilize him the best way possible for his skill set, and also in the confines of the offense. He's now in Tennessee, and Tennessee got a good one now with that trade. They got
Marquise Lee was his name, sorry.
Marquise Lee. Played in Jacksonville.
Yeah. And he was drafted in the second round. But back then it was like, yeah, Woods is better, but Marquise Lee is the guy with the upside. And then even on the Rams, it's like, yeah, Woods is good, but look at Cooper Kupp. And look at – but Woods is like – he's one of those guys where his absence, I think, is gonna be a big, big
thing.
Well,
by the way, it's really interesting, right? Because obviously the Rams being the favorite to come back and win the Super Bowl next year, they're the favorite, right? Or is it the Bills?
I think it's the Bills.
The Bills? All right. But they're still in that upper
echelon. But they have a chance. Even though it's hard to repeat.
Yep. In that upper echelon as it relates to the favorites, right? Golden State, Warriors in basketball. Look, teams and franchises, Harry, that are not afraid to spend. They're not afraid to spend, go deep into the luxury tax for the players that matter the most in order to get back to have a chance to compete for titles.
Well, because you look at the Rams and how they constructed things the last few years, they don't care about draft picks.
Exactly.
Right? They don't care about draft picks. They want the proven player right now that they can just plug in. They believe in their system. They believe in their culture. They believe in the atmosphere. Less need a general manager. And we already know what Sean McVay is. He is a true player's coach, and he's younger than some of his players, but they respect him.
What is Steve wearing that shirt, blank them picks, right? And that's what LeBron James then tweeted out, like, hey,
picks, man.
Hello, Rob Pelinka, can we blank them picks too? Like, we're trying to win chips here. Let's figure it out.
But I will say this. When you look at their secondary, right, and they lost Darius Williams, they signed Troy Hill, David Long Jr., he's going to be there. They drafted Darian Kendrick. Corner number three, I think, is going to be important to me. When you look at a team like the Arizona Cardinals who wants to throw the football a ton of times, when you see the NFL and the makeup of it, you see the Green Bay Packers, which I don't think this year is going to be the thing for them. They're going to have to run the football too. But even Dallas last year, when they wanted to throw the football mainly, they're going to have to run it more. I think so as well going into 2022. But you look at the NFL and what it's become, these teams want to air the football out. You have to be 3, 4, 5 corner deep. Mm-hmm. So you can contend, because the game is all about matchups. How can I get my best receiver or my number two or my number three on your worst corner?
Mm.
That's what the game has come to.
You got a lot of dudes. You need a lot of dudes who can cover in your backfield if you want to compete. Yes, this has been our latest edition of Two A Days, Los Angeles Rams. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max with Harry Douglas in for Key today. Jay, Draymond Green says the 2017 Warriors would beat Michael Jordan and the 98 Bulls. We're going to get into that.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN2. That's how old I am. I remember when this dropped. Who could do that yet? Fred Setta, I'm better.
I like when Max gets excited about these songs and stuff.
Said I got a gold nameplate that said, I wish you would. I think they did at one point. But that takes a lot. Remember a couple of years ago, someone broke into LL's house, beat the hell out of him, hemmed him up, and waited for the cops?
What? Like,
yeah, someone broke into LL's house.
What?
Wrong house to break into. And LL gave him the business, beat him down, and I believe held him there for the cops to come and pick him up.
What?
Come get this jive turkey.
No, I got to look
at this jive turkey.
No. Don't put him in the 1970s. LL is the 80s now. Jive turkey.
Get this jive turkey out my house.
No. You got him in a blaxploitation flick from the 70s? No, that's not it. LL is one era later. What's the matter with you, Harry Douglas? Guys, speaking of the 80s, Draymond Green says the 2017 Warriors, or the 90s even, would beat Michael Jordan and the 98 Bulls. He said, quote, I'm watching the 98 Bulls versus Utah in the finals. I can't help but to notice that our 2017 team, that would be the team with KD, would have beaten these Bulls by a dub and these Jazz by 40 if they're going to play these brands of basketball. And that's why it's dumb to compare eras. By the way, in my opinion, he's absolutely right. Of course, if you simply plucked one team out of a previous era, they would get killed by a modern team. Because the modern team is built upon what they've learned and have added new things.
But wait,
but that's not how you do it.
Can I have a question, though?
Yeah.
I thought Draymond was new media. Why is new media discussing old media tactics?
Because he's smart. Look at this. We're talking about him. Draymond Green's an
idiot. I'm not talking about it.
You were talking about it right now.
I'm just saying, but he's new media. So this is what old media discusses. Why isn't new media thinking about what's forward thinking? What's futuristic?
Jay. Dough is dough. Ratings are ratings. Clicks are clicks. Eyeballs are eyeballs. Right now on ESPN,
Max, the point is,
on the screen,
Max,
it says Draymond Green speaks, and we're talking all about him and his podcast.
I can see where it is, Max. My point is, it's hypocritical.
Why?
Right? Well, don't call yourself new media if you're discussing old media.
But you don't get rid of it wholesale.
Oh, you don't?
No.
I don't know. It was never explained to me what new media is.
New media is just the...
But you don't have to explain it. You didn't create it, so don't try to back it. I'm just saying, when somebody comes on, it's like
proliferation of
this old media, and all they talk about, all these things. And
I see. You're criticizing what the players are saying.
I'm just bringing up a point. I'm just saying, if you want to say new media, then advance the ball. Like, we've had these conversations so many times. Can KD's team beat the Jordan Bulls?
But Draymond is still a... sports fans forever will be interested in this team. The whole point of sports is to create hierarchy. Who's better than whom?
I understand. I just don't fall for debate.
I absolutely am going to take debate. That's right. And he's saying, but Draymond's point is you can't compare eras. But here's the real problem. This gets back to better versus greater.
Mm-hmm.
Better is irrelevant. You can just assume the latest is always the best, right? And in the one sport that you can actually measure, track and field, that's what you see. the latest greatest athlete is resetting the record book. He, like in track and field, Usain Bolt was faster than Jesse Owens or Carl Lewis. We can time it. There's no debate or opinion. It's not subjective. He's faster. The 10th best sprinter in the world today is faster than Jesse Owens. No one would say he's greater. Greatness has to do with how you did versus your contemporaries. Of course, the Warriors would beat those Bulls if you just played them together. But if that Bulls team was around today, they would play more like a modern team and would be a different story.
All right, so the 95-96 Bulls won 72 games, right? Mm-hmm. And what was the year? Was it 16-17?
15-16.
15-16 that the Warriors won 73.
Right.
Why you can't compare those two teams?
Like, because that was without KD, and he's comparing the best version of them with
come
KD.
Come on, man. Like,
they lost the title. You can't be in that conversation if you didn't chip up. I think he's not going to take the team that lost in Game 7 in the fourth quarter at home and compare them to the greatest team of all time. He's going to take the team that crushed everybody with KD, right? I think that's a... If you want to say which team was greater in their day, the Bulls. The Warriors with KD were a cheat code, no doubt about it. But they didn't have Michael Jordan. The Bulls did.
If he just said... That's why you can't compare errors and it's stupid. Why are you comparing the errors?
I didn't say you can't compare errors.
I'm saying what Draymond said. Did you read the last line of what he said?
Yeah, of course.
Can you read it to the audience again? What was the last line?
That's why it's dumb to compare errors.
So why are you comparing errors?
I think what he's saying is, for those who say it used to be a tougher game or the circumstances were so, he's saying, yeah, but if you just plucked the team out and played us, we'd crush them. Yeah. So, but what I would say to Draymond is, I agree. Each era has their strengths and weaknesses, and by and large, in sports, every era is better in absolute terms than the era that came previously. But the fun in talking sports and comparing eras is saying which team did better in their era, like which was the greater, more dominant team in its time.
Hey, before I'm gonna sit up here and say somebody gonna whoop Michael Jordan in a championship, I need to see it.
They had the three best defenders at their position.
I want to be like Mike.
So you're saying Scott Burrell, his game would have been way better, or Ron Harper, their games would have been way better?
Steve Kerr, Gordon Curry, let's see it.
I'm saying this.
You're saying Steve Kerr's defensive game would have been better if he was.
Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and Dennis Rodman.
Steve Kerr's game would have been better defensively if he were to come up in today's age and train.
No, man. We know that's not going to happen.
Wait, hold on.
They're going to put Steve Kerr in a pick and roll like no other.
Right. There's some players.
Everybody on that roster is Harry. Tony Kukoc,
Tony Kukoc would be a better offensive player today. He'd shoot it from deeper and consistently.
Yeah,
the point is this. Darwinism, right? Darwinian evolution, which people seem to misunderstand as survival of the fittest, as though it means the strongest or the fittest. What it means is the best adapted to their era. It's a very simple concept. It's tautological, meaning it's circular in its reasoning, but it works. If you are if you survived in order to pass on your genes, that means you were best adapted to your circumstances, right? And the ones who couldn't pass on their genes were not as well adapted as you. The Bulls were, and the players they had were best adapted for their circumstances.
So Max,
Warriors are best adapted for these circumstances.
So the point would be that Bulls team wouldn't be constructed the way it was back then. You would have had a completely different team to play in today's
era. The nucleus we're really comparing. Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman. Jordan would be a great
Kevin Durant,
deep
Steph,
three ball.
And Clay.
Well, first of all,
Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman are
it's
better.
Not Michael Jordan's fault that they blew a 3-1 lead too to the year that they won 73 games either. So,
like I said, I'm not comparing errors. I think it's dumb. And I'm not falling for it, Draymond.
You have
new media.
Literally the three best defensive players of all time in their primes.
Advance it.
In Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman. And you have the greatest player of all time. I'll take that.
You guys come back to my house for some pancakes.
Subway Series time. Yankees and Mets at Citi Field. Who's the bigger postseason threat? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.